Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of AWM Insights, where we cover all things investing. We are excited to jump in to a conversation about taxes. Brandon, it's July 14th. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm pumped. When tax day is right around the corner, it's always a good day, right?
Oh, always a good day. Now, for a lot of our audience listening, they may actually be unaware. So because it's 2020, the strangest year ever, the government has actually extended the tax filing deadline to July 15th. And so for a lot of individuals, they have, of course, waited until the day before. But the reason we want to talk about taxes today is, for us, it's not just a focus on investing, it's actually a focus on net worth. And Brandon, can you give our audience a little insight into why we're even talking about taxes on an investing podcast?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, taxes at the end of the day affect everything. Nobody that I've talked to, at least, gets fired up about paying taxes, but they are a reality. And so when we're making decisions, whether they're financial planning decisions or certainly investment decisions, we need to be taking taxes into account. So while, you know, 7/15 isn't a day that anybody really looks forward to, it is a welcome break for us to take our mind off the short-term impacts that we're seeing as we try to figure out what's happening with COVID and turn our attention to something that we can control and helps us to make better outcomes for our investing decisions.
And really what we talk a lot about, right, is taxes is not something that happens once a year. Really, this is forward looking. This is tax planning, because the focus is on net worth. It's really, when we think about investing, it's a means to an end. It's an opportunity to hopefully grow our wealth. But what we as investors and people really care about is the net returns, the amount of money that hits our pocket. It's interesting, Morningstar had published an article that from an investment return standpoint, taxes really accounts for a 2% annual drag, which is very dramatic when it comes to your investment returns. Brandon, what are some of the things that investors can do to minimize the tax bite when it comes to investing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is understanding your situation. If you're in the highest tax bracket, we've covered them on previous podcasts, but make sure that your portfolios are utilizing what's called asset location. If you've got an account that is a taxable account and then you have some retirement accounts, you certainly can take advantage of this. For people also that are able to save money outside of retirement accounts, there's a practice called tax loss harvesting. So those are just two quick examples that you can focus on. But I think it's really just looking through the lens of, how is this going to impact me from a tax perspective? Does it generate income? And if it does, is that income after taxes justified for the investment? It's really a mindset. It's a practice of looking at your investment decisions with taxes in mind.
Yeah, and I think one of the things to point out for the audience is, it's curious. You might ask the question of, why are more financial advisors not talking about this integrated tax planning? And it's because 85% of Americans actually are in a tax bracket that is lower than 20%. And so for a large part of people, it's irrelevant. But for the majority of our listeners and clients who are in the highest tax bracket, this is significant. It's something that we say, taxes are most likely the biggest expense that you're going to pay. I mean, take it, if you're in the highest tax bracket, that's 37%. You add on the net investment income surtax of another 3.8%. You add on state tax. We're talking to 40 to 50% of every dollar is getting eaten away at taxes. And so it's interesting that there's such a focus in the investment world that we're combating, right, on this podcast, a lot of the day trading or the hot stock tip. And with all of that effort, to put it into context, since 1990, the S&P 500, which has seen a year in which it was down 53%, right? There's a lot of uncertainty and what is perceived risk around it. That's to go get an annualized return of 9.7%, which, that's nothing to balk at. A 9.7% return annualized, your money's going to grow, you know, kind of every 7 to 10 years. That's a great thing. But what we're talking about here is, like, what if we could say there's a way to lock in 40 to 50% returns on your money just through being proactive and planning? And so, Brandon, maybe talk a little bit about some of the retirement planning that is beyond the employer 401k. What happens if you've got 1099 income? What are some other ways to reduce taxes when it comes to integrating with your investment plan?
Yeah, that's a great point, Eric. There are, as you mentioned, accounts that can significantly benefit you. So if you are an independent contractor, you are receiving income aside from employer income, you're able to set up accounts such as an individual 401k or a SEP IRA. And those accounts become very powerful in deferring income taxes down the road. So it's really an understanding your situation. I think the other hard part about this is there is no one size fits all. It's really leaning on your advisors to understand what's happening with taxes, your overall situation, managing, you know, what you might need from a cash flow perspective to, you know, what you're able to save for long term. So it's a complicated puzzle, but it's an important puzzle, as you mentioned. And if you're in the highest tax bracket, you know, this is something you should pay attention to. A lot of people will just blanket out, hey, maybe I'll get some municipal bonds because I don't want to pay the state income tax. Well, that's generally a good idea, but there are cases, which partially we're going through right now, where there needs to be an evaluation. Not paying taxes isn't always the worst thing. You need to evaluate the after-tax return. A taxable investment may have a better after-tax return than a tax-free investment when you take risk into account. So, you know, all this stuff we're talking about, I just encourage you guys to, you know, get with your advisors, make sure that they're taking the tax situation into account and they really have a good understanding of it. And then you'll participate in these benefits.
You make some great points right there that ultimately, right, we talk about this a lot on this podcast, is we want everybody listening to this to capture the returns that they deserve. And that's after tax. And unfortunately, you'll even see some marketing, you know, gimmicks or things from online platforms that talk about just an algorithm doing everything. When it comes to the customization and personalization of your investment plan, there's no one model that's going to do this perfectly. It needs to be very specific to your situation. And just encourage you, as Brandon said, is you should be able to reach out to your certified private wealth advisor. And the question you need to ask them is where's the detailed plan on being able to manage taxes, defer taxes, and reduce taxes? Those are the three pillars of an integrated tax planning strategy that every investor should have. And so it's one of those things that we make sure is integrated with every single client, because at the end of the day, it's we want you to capture that return that you deserve. And so until next time, if you guys want some more information about just the integrated tax planning we're talking about, head over to AWM Insights. You'll be able to see the show notes here. We'll put some links in for some resources that will be helpful on that. And until next time, stay humble, stay hungry, and always be a pro.